VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way here from the VCY America Network. Friends, we've conducted programs before and certainly have alluded to what scriptures teach as to it relates to a time coming on this earth when one will not be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark of the image of the one known as Antichrist. And many wonder, well, that's so far away, that could never happen. Well, let me just say this. According to a column written by our guest today, you won't be able to buy anything without permission from the government. Every dollar you earn, spend, or save will be monitored by autocrats who, with the click of a button, can turn off your earnings, spending, or saving potential at any time. You'll be forced to buy food, clothing, shelter, and everything else you need or want according to tyrannical dictate. Or you'll be prevented from purchasing by the same oligarchs who control not only what you buy, but when and from whom you buy it. What would ever give any government such power? We're speaking of the central bank digital currency, and our guest indicates that if this is not resisted, this programmable money could signal the demise of financial freedom. Joining us today, we welcome Rebecca Terrell, the senior editor and regular contributor to The New American. Rebecca, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's great to be on the program.
Well, let's begin with some definitions. What exactly is a central bank digital currency, and how does this differ from what we're accustomed to?
Right. Well, you just described it very well, because a central bank digital currency is exactly what it is, a digital currency. It is programmable money. So, you know, we're used to transacting with credit cards and debit cards and all this, and you think, okay, how is that different? Well, it's different because each dollar can be turned on or off. Let's give an example. In times of recession, when people tend to save, the government can actually put an expiration date on your money, so you have to spend it or you lose it by a certain time. Or say that we have another COVID lockdown. Your money doesn't work outside of your particular exclusion zone where you are allowed to travel. You know, and I know that this sounds crazy, doesn't it? It sounds like science fiction. That would never happen here. Well, it actually is already happening. We know it's happening full throttle in China. They've been using their own CBDC, it's the digital yuan, since April of 2021. And they use a social credit score that labels a person as a good or bad citizen, and that ultimately decides whether you have access really to your funds or not. Not that you don't have access to your funds, you just can't do certain things. Like, you can't rent an apartment, you can't send your children to private school, you can't start a business, you can't obtain a loan, you can't travel on any, you know, a lot of travel in China is public transportation, and you're cut off from that. If you have a low credit score, now your social credit score can be based on all sorts of different things. Do you buy cigarettes and alcohol? That can ding your social credit score. Do you jaywalk? And you say, how do they know these things? Well, the electronic payment histories on all of this digital money tell them what you buy. And the smartphones that people use tell them what they're doing on social media, because what you do on social media can either raise or lower your social credit score too. This is basically a way of controlling everything you do and say and even think. Because you'll be penalized.
Yes, I mean, in high score, we see what's happening with China. When people were protesting, even during the pandemic, they would change their status on their phone from green to, what was it, red or some color there that didn't give them the freedom that they had, and that was just a click of the button.
Right, and they also, in China, we know that they have what's called Skynet, which, to anyone who's familiar with the Terminator movies, which I have to admit, I'm not one of those. I'm not a Terminator fan, and I haven't seen them. But I know that the bad guy in the Terminator movies is Skynet, which is a genocidal artificial intelligence system. And that is the name of the facial recognition cameras that are littered throughout the metropolitan areas in China. And you say, oh, that could never happen here. It is already happening. Wow. We have these cameras everywhere here, too. So, and we know, too, I mean, look back at the, you know, you got to love the truckers in China, Canada.
Yes.
The Freedom Convoy.
Yep, that was 2022, Ottawa, Canada. Mm-hmm.
Right, and what did Trudeau do to them? He attacked their bank accounts, and the banks went along with it, and they cut them off, and that's how they smoked them out of Ottawa, right? It was a little bit. They also used, of course, police forces too, mm-hmm. but that was more for the cameras. But the way they really clipped them in the knees and got them to leave was cutting off their access to their funds. So right. This is something that we know is happening even here. And yes, and I say here, and I say in Canada, okay, in the United States as well, look at what Joe Biden wanted the IRS to be able to track any business transactions, over $600.
Right, right.
What business transactions aren't,
yeah.
except for paperclips and office supplies.
Right, right.
What business, you know, that means total surveillance.
Yeah, you buy a piece of furniture, they're going to know about it. Every paycheck, they're going to know about it. Even tithes that you may, and offerings you may give to your church or a nonprofit organization.
That's right. And then look at what would be considered. Okay, let's look, for example, this is a little bit of an extreme example, but it's right here in front of us, the FBI monitoring traditional people, Catholics who adhere to the old Latin mass, you know,
yep.
and
yep.
so is that, and that, they're suddenly hate groups, people who go to church and happen to adhere to an archaic method of worship are suddenly hate groups, you know, and let's say that you agree with them, well, tomorrow FBI might be calling your particular group a hate group.
Right. Right.
Right. And then all of a sudden, what does that mean when we have a central bank digital currency? We know that this is not just in China. The BRICS nations are talking about it. In fact, at the very first of April, China and Brazil announced that they were creating their own currency between the two nations and completely bypassing the dollar. And Russia has announced, too, that by the end of this year, they will have launched their own central bank digital currency, and they also have already announced the BRICS nations, and that is, BRICS stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. This is very, you can look this up, this is very much in the news, in financial news. They've already announced that they intend to de-dollarize their dealings and mm-hmm. kind of combine their currencies. Now, what we're looking at, and I mean, come on, you know, what do you think the next step is? These are regional type currencies, and we're going toward a world currency.
Tell you what, I'm right? going to interrupt you there, Rebecca, because I'm going to circle back to some of the issues that you've raised already. When we talk about the central bank digital currency, what we've heard you describe here in the last couple of minutes just seems like we're moving at lightning speed with this. What was the genesis? What was the birth of this? What was the catalyst? And how is this related even to the COVID pandemic, or was that the catalyst itself?
Sure. Well, actually, the catalyst for central bank digital currency goes all the way back to 1913. When I know that sounds like, wait, what? Yeah, it's been around for a long time. And actually, at the New American, of course, the New American hasn't been around that long, but the New American was spawned from two other magazines that did exist for a long time. And we've been, from the birth of those magazines, have been trying to warn about this federal takeover of our monetary supply. And we know that we have 1913 was when the Federal Reserve System came into being. People think because the word federal is in it that it has something to do with the federal government. It is not. It is a private banking cartel that literally took over our gold reserves and gave us new fiat currency, which has value based on the word of the government. They this is the reason we have inflation. When they start printing up more money, it means that each dollar that you have is worth less, right? Because each dollar that you have is not backed by anything. The only real commodity, it's backed by the word of the supposedly the government. And so the Federal Reserve System hijacked our money supply back then in 1913, hijacked our whole economy. And ever since then, we've been going further and further and further. And this is kind of a natural result. And I think it's very naive for any of us to think, hey, things just started getting bad in 2020 when COVID hit and all this crazy stuff started happening and the elections were, you know, stolen and this and that. Well, it took a long time to get here. And the good news is it's not necessarily going to take that long to get it back, but it's going to take a lot of us waking up and doing something about it.
So 1913, right? The foundation was laid for this. But, you know, again, for many of us, we just see what's happened since COVID and so forth. COVID, though, was definitely used to be a promoter of this central bank digital currency, is it not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we don't have to speculate on this. We actually have this from the deep state planners' mouths, right? We have Klaus Schwab himself, the leader of the World Economic Forum, and I'm sure your audience is extremely familiar with him and with that organization and his book called The Great Reset. And he called The Great Reset, he called COVID. This is our opportunity. This is our chance to reset the world. And it's not a resetting that is any kind of godly resetting.
Right.
Let's just sum it up that way. So,
no going back to normal. It really is about transformation, not going back to normal.
You know, and you know, you say that, and a lot of people say that going back to normal. And I like to say, hey, we don't necessarily want to go back to normal, because the way we got that, look at the history of the world, the biblical, you know, look at the Bible, and what the Bible tells us, the history of the world is a history of governments oppressing people. Right. And God allows that to happen when people are licentious and when they ignore his laws and ignore his rules. It's his ball game. We have to play by his rules.
Yeah.
And when are the people granted freedom from that oppression? When they turn from their sin
and they
acknowledge and they repent.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't necessarily want to go back to a normal where we were offending God all the time. We need to do some introspection here and go, OK, God told us we've got the reins here if we want them. But it's going to take self-sacrifice. It's going to take self-denial. It's going to take, you know, putting Jesus Christ as the king of our society, not just as the king of our private hearts, you know.
Good point, Rebecca, and we appreciate you making that. We're talking about central bank digital currency today and concerns over this. Does a central bank digital currency demand a digital ID?
I think, they go hand in hand, because you're not going to be able to use your central bank digital currency. Will be tied to you. It's not like a dollar bill that you use and nobody can trace it back to you. The digital ID is something, and that's a whole, I know that we're coming up on your first break.
Right.
I think that maybe we can get into that in the next, but that digital ID, and you're getting right back to scripture where, you know, the mark of the beast
Tell you what, we're just up against that break, so it's a good breaking point for us here. Rebecca Terrell with us here today, senior editor, regular contributor to The New American, and their website, thenewamerican.com, talking about concerns over the central bank digital currency. How is this all related to that digital ID? What's all in there? What about this vaccination passport? I mean, all of this combined together, folks. We'll be back with more in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the age-old question, is it true that man evolved from the apes?
No, it is not, Chris. Humans were created separately. The animals, including the apes, were created after their kind, but humans were created in the image of God. Man is not related to the animals. But according to evolution, we are descended from the animals. It used to be thought that a rodent, a rat-like animal, was the common ancestor of all the mammals, but a recent study showed that the closest living relative of the common ancestor is the aardvark. How about that? We came from an aardvark. Chris, isn't it about time we recognize the evolutionary view as abject foolishness? Isn't it time we go back to Genesis and get it right?
If you'd like to go back to Genesis, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Rebecca Terrell from New American, writing for thenewamerican.com, senior editor, regular contributor, and talking today about the central bank digital currency. And we're just talking about how this is very much, it's glued together with what's known as a digital ID. These work one and the same. Take us further down that road, if you would, Rebecca.
Right, absolutely. Well, CBDC does equate to a digital ID. And again, you know, I'll go back to the example that I used. If we had another pandemic, you know, another plandemic, and everybody is supposed to be locked down, you say, I'm not going to be locked down this time. I'm going to go and do my thing. I'm going to resist. Well, you can't, because they turn off your money. And how far can you go without access to your money? Right.
Yeah.
They can switch off your money. They can make it impossible to use it outside of a restriction zone. So that is basically a digital ID. It'll also tell on you if you try to use that money outside of your restriction zone. Beep, 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 you know, the radar's going. So it's a monitoring. It's like having a search warrant without a warrant, right?
Hmm.
And again, the best example of that is those frozen bank accounts of the Freedom Convoy protesters in early 2022 when they did that. That we know that's the same kind of thing that they're going to try to foist on us if we don't comply, so to speak. And then, of course, we also know that in countries over in Europe, some people already have those little digital, looks like a little capsule, looks like a little vitamin pill or something that's implanted in their hand, the back of the hand, and you can scan yourself, and it can have your keys on it. You can buy things with it by scanning it. And so this is exactly what we do not want to happen.
I'd like you to introduce one other component to all of this as well, and that's the ESG dynamic. The Biden administration has attempted to force this environmental, social, corporate governance. This is very much connected to CBDC, is it not?
It absolutely is, and it goes back to those social credit scores. It's analogous to that, because if you're not being good to Mother Earth, and if you use hate language, you know, if you're not accepting of LGBTQ and whatever other letter they add to that, then you're a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not living up. But of course, that's the social credit. The ESG refers to the social credit score that applies to, for now, businesses.
So you or I would not be gaining any points with that today, would we?
Right, exactly. But the thing is, these companies, this pressures companies to adopt these politically correct policies, even to their own detriment, because we know that these policies are detrimental. We know that all of these environments, pushing for renewable energy, pushing for, well, let's look at Texas. Texas has more than 20% of its energy portfolio is based on renewables. And remember that horrible ice storm that cut across the United States in early 2021? And it went from the southern border at Mexico up to the northern border at Canada, from Texas to Maine. And literally hundreds of people died in Texas because that ice storm was so bad. What happened was, the federal government would not allow Texas appealed to the federal government, said, please let us ramp up our fossil fuel energy production to get ready for the storm. No, you can't do that. That would not adhere to our net zero goals. You have to keep getting your energy from wind. Well, what happens in an ice storm? The windmills froze up, and so did the neglected gas lines, because there's no incentive to keep maintaining these fossil fuel producers, because the playing field is not level anymore. All of the federal subsidies go toward so-called renewable energy, And again, Texas has more than, it has about 23% of its portfolio in renewables. And that's why, and you can't just, it's not just a matter of flipping the switch when the windmills got stuck. You can't just flip a switch and all of a sudden use coal or oil or nuclear or this or that. Those baseload providers have had to ramp down below baseload because otherwise they would have to pay to keep the energy that they're producing online. So they have to go below, and it takes a time and a lot of energy to bring them back up to speed. So what happened was people in Texas ended up dying because they froze to death because they couldn't get, they ran out of power.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just one example of the fruits that we get from promoting so-called renewable energy. I don't even like to use those. I don't even like to use the terms of the left. It's not, renewable makes it seem, oh, wow, it's great. It's not great. People die because of it. People literally die when you pursue goals like this.
Yeah.
So ESG is very much impacting every single one of us, even though right now it just applies at the corporate level.
Another group I'd like you to introduce us to is the Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland. Who are they and how does that relate to this CBDC?
Yeah, interesting. The Bank for International Settlements is the central bank of banks. It is not regulated by any. It's been around since about 1930, if my memory is serving me correctly. And it funded both sides of every war after its creation to keep those wars fomented. It's not regulated. It's not under the laws of any country whatsoever. It's situated in Basel, Switzerland. That's why there's a book about it. There's a fantastic book about it called The Tower of Basel.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd recommend that to anyone to read about it. But it is it's frightening now. They will not be subject to the dictates of any central bank digital currency.
Hmm.
You know, and so that's the bank that you never hear about in the news, and all of us should know about it. It should be household language because that's where our enemies lie.
So how does this CBDC get around people who say, listen, I don't own a computer, I'm not going to. I don't own a smartphone, I'm not going to. We don't have the internet. How will they function, or will they be forced into compliance? Can one resist this?
Right. It's getting harder to, there are companies that don't, and this is especially true in Europe. There are a lot of places that will not accept cash anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's slowly going that direction. It hasn't hit us as badly because we still have our constitution and we still have states that are, at least in theory, sovereign over the federal government. And a lot of those states are pushing back. And I know you and I are going to talk about that too soon. Because we don't want to look at this as doom and gloom, like we have no hope, we can't get out of this. But yeah, that's the way it's being. Again, this started back, and it actually started before 1913, because when 1913 rolled around, that was when the Federal Reserve System began. But another fascinating book I would recommend to anyone is G. Edward Griffin's The Creature from Jekyll Island, which, and I know you're familiar with that book, and that describes this in detail and tells you who the players are. So all of this has been planned very, very studiously. And, you know, you can also see this theme going through. Okay, everybody who was alive back there in 1913, well, they're gone now, right? Well, they're progenitors, or their descendants, you know, are carrying the torch. And you can see this whole, it is a diabolic theme. It would... If this were just happening by happenstance, they'd make mistakes sometimes. They wouldn't stay on this agenda so tightly and so successfully. So we have to know this is at heart a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we must rely on God, pray as if it's all up to God, and work as if it's all up to us.
Yeah. And friends, no doubt you've seen this. So it's entertainment centers, sports arenas, hotels, others that are going totally cashless. I can imagine these types of things are only going to be on the increase. But let's bring up the states that are taking action. Just more recently, Governor DeSantis of Florida signed legislation to ban a CBDC in Florida. Other states have taken various levels of action. Is it possible for a state, in essence, to be an island rejecting this when others are going down this road? Will a state like Florida or Indiana, will they be forced into compliance if they wish to do business?
Well, you know, you can see that happening, but luckily we have action at the state level and at the federal level. The House Majority Whip Tom Emmerer introduced the CBDC Anti-Surveillance State Act earlier this year that will block the Fed from rolling out its planned digital currency. And it, by the way, it has announced it. We actually already have, starting in July, a bank payment system called FedNow that is really a precursor of a CBDC because it's going to make instantaneous digital payments possible. And it's all through.
But they're saying that's a benefit. I mean, they're hyping that as being, hey, this is good for the American people.
Let's pretend like it is a benefit. Is it really? But then weigh the pros and cons. We already have electronic payments, right?
Yes.
We already have debit cards and credit cards and automated clearinghouse payments and all of this. Okay, so is that really going to? Are you really inconvenienced all that much? Is it worth handing over our liberty? Is it worth handing over and taking on this effective digital ID, as you pointed out? I think that we need to weigh the pros and cons here and say, okay, there are a lot more cons than there would be to any pros, even though I don't see that as, again, I don't see it as a pro because we already have digital payments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, it's instantaneous. Well, so is my credit card, really?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so let's go back then to the states matter. And, you know, Ron DeSantis signing this recently, other states giving some levels of protection in this. Is because of federal legislation, I think we'll see a veto coming from the current president in this. But the fact that they're, you know, advancing this is good from the standpoint of conversation and heightened awareness as to what this is going to do, public awareness of it as well. But actions by the states, is this an effective tool to combat this?
I think it is because, as you said, we have so many states. We've got not just Florida, Texas. Legislators have introduced measures in both the House and Senate to actually establish a state digital currency backed by gold. They're answering with their own digital currency.
Right.
Other states like Indiana, Arkansas, they have signed enacted legislation to prohibit a federal CBDC from being used within their jurisdiction. And, you know, that's what we need to understand, that our founding fathers intended our government to work that way, where the states tell the federal government what to do, not the other way around. All of this, every single federal bureaucratic agency is unconstitutional, starting from back in the 1850s, believe it or not, the very first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, started the federal bureaucratic, the fourth branch of government, by instituting the Department of Agriculture. So that's been going on a long time, too. It's been ebbing away slowly, 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 and we're seeing the results of it now. We need to say, wait, no, we still have our Constitution. They're going after that now. You know, the Convention of States, Mark Meckler's group, pushing for two-thirds of the states to call for a constitutional convention. They're saying, oh, no, we're going to preserve the Constitution. No, they won't. The only other time in the history of this country when we had a constitutional convention, they pitched what we had, the Articles of Confederation, and they gave us the Constitution we have now. So we have precedent.
I think we better pick up with that after the break. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk. Our topic today, dealing with the central bank digital currency. Rebecca Terrell is our guest, senior editor and regular contributor to The New American. You'll find an article that she has written on this, as well as others, thenewamerican.com. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
The rise of fentanyl overdose deaths is skyrocketing and has been the leading cause of death in adults ages 18 to 45. Street drugs have been laced with it, creating new lines of counterfeit pills. Fentanyl is 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine. Sadly, many looking for their next high are experimenting with fentanyl and losing their life as a result. Addressing the issue from a biblical perspective is Mark Shaw, founder of the Addiction Connection. In his 33-page booklet, Fentanyl, Mark examines many topics including pain management,
what God says about drugs, why people are overdosing, and hope and answers from God's perspective. He addresses issues of the heart, which lead many to addiction. The booklet Fentanyl is available for a donation of $6 or three copies for $15. Call VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Rebecca Terrell is with us here today, senior editor and contributor to The New American, and talking about the central bank digital currency. Just before the break, Rebecca, you brought up the aspect of the Convention of States, and you've got some concerns regarding that. Now, there are those who are saying, wait, if we want to balance our budget, the founders gave us this formula. They gave us this Fifth Amendment here to be able to do this and put this into place. You're taking issue with that. Tell us why.
Absolutely. Well, if we want to balance our budget, let's get rid of the unconstitutional federal bureaucracy, which is known as the fourth branch of government. Number one, that's the first thing that should go. Number two, that will solve so many problems, because then we can actually become energy independent again, and heavens, we will once again be the world leaders. But the reason we brought up Convention of States was because, yes, you had asked me, can states really do this? Can states push back against a federal CBDC? Absolutely we can. But it is our duty to do that. This is our patriotic duty to put the federal government back in its place. The states are supposed to tell the federal government what to do, not the other way around. And again, and I'll go through the other list. We'd already mentioned Florida. We mentioned Texas, Indiana, Arkansas, Alabama, Ohio, South Carolina, North Carolina, South Dakota. All of these places either have or are in the process of passing legislation that would prohibit CBDC from being a federal CBDC from being used within their jurisdictions, or otherwise banning, like, for instance, not allowing state offices to accept CBDC payments. And all of these things to do. This is what we each need to do. We need to look at what our legislatures are doing about CBDC. If nothing is happening, get it started. You can learn about this. If I can learn about this and understand it to be able to report on it, anybody can. I'm no financial genius. I'm not an expert in economics. This is something you can read about. Go to thenewamerican.com, look up my article, look up Alex Newman's articles, many other writers with The New American. We're writing about this. We're trying to warn people about it. And you can also go to these various states and look at what their legislatures are doing. And you can go to, again, I'll mention Tom Emmerer and on the House side, and Ted Cruz on the Senate side have introduced legislation to stop a federal CBDC. And you might say, yeah, that would be vetoed by our current White House occupant. Sure it would, but that doesn't mean we stop. That doesn't mean we roll over and play dead. We keep pushing, we keep pushing, we keep pushing, because ultimately, truly, even at our local levels, our your own county sheriff has so much power granted him by the United States Constitution. He can say no. All these unconstitutional federal dictates, they do not hold sway not on my watch, not in my jurisdiction. No. And we're kind of rolling. We're not realizing that that's the way our government is set up. See, it's turned on its head. It really is, which is a mark of a satanic influence. It's a mark of a diabolic influence, is that things are turned on their heads. We think that the federal government tells the states what to do, and the states tell the localities and on down to everybody tells you, the individual, what to do. No, it's just the opposite. Mm-hmm. The individual tells the locality what to do, and localities tell the state, and state tells the federal. That's the true hierarchy, that we need to get that mindset back, because that is the mindset of the home, the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Yeah.
Not the slave mentality. Right.
Friends, we're going to open our phone lines today. We'll take your questions on central bank digital currency or brief comment. Our number here, 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Rebecca Terrell with us here today, as writes for The New American. And again, at the site, you'll find numerous articles on this, thenewamerican.com. Our number here, 800-733-9829. And what we've talked about here, all of this can be interwoven into this vaccination passport as well, can it not?
Oh, absolutely. That's another example, and I'm ashamed that I didn't bring that up. I'm glad you did. We saw so many countries using those vaccine passports during the pandemic, and you weren't allowed to go here or there or transact business in certain places if you didn't have your vaccine passport. Now all of a sudden, oh, the pandemic's over. Turns out you don't need that after all. Well, what's to keep them from? We know that all of the little game, the simulations that they've done prior to COVID, they're still doing simulations. They're doing them they did one with monkeypox before the monkeypox thing came out.
Yep.
You remember when that happened? So, I mean, they're doing things out in the open in plain sight, but our media is failing us. You know, our major media is failing us. They're not reporting on these things. So, I mean, you know, it's not hard to see there's a cahoots going on there. But that's why it's important to support programs like yours, periodicals like mine, because we are trying to get this word out and wake people up and alert them to the fact that, hey, this is what they have planned next. Will you be ready?
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk. We're going to the phone lines here today. Again, our number, all the lines are packed, but as soon as you hear somebody's call finish with us, you can reach out 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Iowa. We have Monty calling. Hi, Monty. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Rebecca, I just had a quick question. Maybe I misunderstood what you said, but it sounded like you were promoting Convention of States.
No, just the opposite.
Oh. Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I thought better of you than that because I know what you stand for, but I thought I heard that you were promoting that, and I thought that can't be right.
Oh, no, sir, and thank you for saying that, because if you heard it that way, I'm sure other people did too, and absolutely, I want to make it very, very clear, I'm absolutely not promoting Convention of States. In fact, I don't know if you're familiar with the website PubliusHulda.com. It's Joanna Martin's website. She has detailed there all of the constitutions, proposed constitutions they already have written to use should the states convene a new constitutional convention. All of the, if we're lucky, we'd get out of it as a Southern Canada, if we're lucky. But that's only wishful thinking. I mean, go on her site. None of the constitutions that are proposed, of course, our constitution does not mention God. Our Declaration of Independence does.
Yeah.
But our constitution is basically a very short document that sets up government and then.
So, Monty, what she's saying basically, we don't need to amend or change the constitution. Everything's in there already. What we need
and can take action against this. All lacking is adherence.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Monty.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And yeah, he said it best. All that's lacking is adherence. And you know, if we don't adhere to the current document, why would they adhere to a new one?
Let's go to Mark in Monroe next. You're on the air, Mark.
Yeah, my question is, do you think it would be fair to say the FBI and the IRS have joined ranks, in cahoots with each other to actually buckle the knees of we the people in regard to the digital endgame outcome that I think they're really pushing for? Especially since Biden had come up with that 87,000
IRS agents.
Yeah, which I call stormtroopers, but I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Thank you, Mark. Any comment there, Rebecca?
Right, absolutely. Well, I agree with him completely. And, you know, we see the FBI targeting, like, what one specific story that comes to mind is Mark Houck, the pro-life activist, the father of seven, whose home was raided by FBI agents early one Sunday morning and pointing guns at them, you know, at him and his wife. And the poor children were screaming and crying at the top of the stairs. And they took him away, you know, handcuffed, and because he had defended his child outside a an abortion clinic who was being assaulted by an abortion clinic worker. And the judge who heard the case originally threw it out, said there's no case here. He didn't do anything wrong. He defended his little boy. And, you know, that's just... You'd have to be blind or willfully ignorant if you didn't agree with what Mark just said.
Thank you, Mark, for the call. Merle is next, calling from Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. This should wake up every ill-informed, sleepy Christian, what she is saying today. Mm-hmm. You know, the mark of the beast is not going to be announced. There won't be an announcement 2 weeks in advance.
Yeah.
It's going to be something that's going to have to be discerned. But I thank you for the program today. And it's like Gary Koss said, Christians are going to have to make their mind up very soon how far they're going to go with this stuff. And I appreciate your program.
Thank you, Merle, for the call. By the way, listeners, our number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Let me ask you, based on Merle's call here, Rebecca, do you believe people are awake to this? Are they attuned to this? Do they sense the concern, the danger of going down this pathway?
You know, I think that there's never a cloud without a silver lining, and the silver lining of COVID is that it did wake so many people up. And yes, I do think that there are a lot more people aware of what's going on now because of that horror that we went through. However, I think that, too, we're going back to what we talked about in the very first segment, we can't think, oh, I want to return to normal. I just want them to leave me alone. No, we are in a warfare, and if you read the Bible, you know that. Life is a spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just sit back in your easy chair. We can't be thinking, oh, I want to get back to normal. No, we are ceding our freedoms and our country in the name of tolerance. We are tolerating our way into slavery, and we have got to stop it. I so appreciate what he just said, a call to action for Christians, because that's absolutely what it's going to take.
Let's go to Joe next in Wausau, Wisconsin. Joe, you're on the air.
Hi, it was Charles, not Joe.
Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Go ahead, Charles.
Yes, I just want to know how they can... come up with a digital ID, seeing how it violates all 10 articles of the Bill of Rights, and they don't have authorization from we the people that are the true authority of this country.
Okay, thank you for the question. Rebecca.
Right. How could they come up with anything that they come up with these days? Almost everything that the federal government does these days is unconstitutional. So, again, it gets back to the comment from the first caller about adherence is what's missing. Not our Constitution is not deficient. It is adherence to it by unscrupulous and, I would say, even treasonous individuals who are at the helm, you know, driving all of this.
Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Fritz, calling in from Port Charlotte, Florida. You're on the air, Fritz.
Hello, yes. I'd like to thank Rebecca for making us aware. There's a book called Secrets of the Federal Reserve and the London Connection by Eustace Mullins. That less than 150 pages explains and tells you exactly what happened, that the president is in charge of the money supply in spite of the Federal Reserve. But when the Federal Reserve came enacted, the Constitution went out the door. It's the paymasters who do it. And the paymasters are the synagogue of Satan.
Thank you for the call. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have a comment afterwards here on the Federal Reserve and its impact. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. For television and radio, I've been doing a series on, is Joe Biden a Jesuit ally of Jesuit Pope Francis to bring down America? The evidence is overwhelming, and it not only comes from me, although I am a conservative, Protestant, Bible-believing Christian, I have the evidence, but I also have it from people like Catholic Archbishop Vigano, former Jesuit who denounced the Jesuit order, Malachi Martin, and wrote books that they would eventually work the Jesuits to install a Marxist pope. And now we know firsthand by Catholics themselves, like the Catholic Family News, that Pope Francis is working to destroy Catholics that are pro-life and against the LGBT community. And I've uncovered that Joe Biden for years, including in his inauguration, surrounded himself by Jesuits. You need to learn what the Jesuit order is really all about.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and Rebecca Terrell is our guest, senior editor and regular contributor to The New American, the website thenewamerican.com. Rebecca, that call right before the break, he brought up the concern that you did from the start, you know, the foundation where things started going off track was the birth of that Federal Reserve, which is not part of our federal government, and that caller was recognizing that aspect as well. That really was the genesis of things getting off track here.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Federal Reserve is completely behind a federal CBDC, which should throw up another red flag to us. They issued a report in January 2022 entitled Money and Payments, U.S. Dollar in the Age of Digital Transformation. It discussed cross-jurisdictional collaboration and international coordination. And that come on, let's say, okay, in plain common language, that means that they are going toward a world currency. You know, we talked about that early in the program about how the BRICS nations are going toward forming their own currency among the, always before, it's been, you know, individual currencies and individual nations.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're already openly talking about regional currencies.
Yep.
And here's the Federal Reserve admitting this, the CBDC is going to get us one step closer to joining forces with all these other countries and have one digital currency. And who's going to be at the helm of that? It's the Bank of International Settlements and the International Monetary Fund.
Wow.
We do not want to collaborate with these countries. Again, it goes back to my complaint about us tolerating. Jesus was no tolerator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we serve him or do we serve mammon? That's going to be the ultimate decision we have to make.
Our next caller, Anonymous, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I was wondering if Rebecca could address CBDC, how it affects people that receive pensions and Medicare and Social Security, and what can be done about this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, absolutely. Well, that's a great question, and it's the answer is rather scary because there really isn't much that someone in those systems could do, is there? I mean, let's look at what happened and what's happening right now. Even though the public health emergency of COVID ended on May 11th, right, officially. So all of those payment systems to the hospitals, they've gone away. Those incentive payments to use remdesivir and put people on ventilators and all that, except if you are on Medicare, Medicaid. You are still subject because the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services said that their hospital incentive payments are going to be going on through the end of the fiscal year when the public health emergency ends, which means through the end of 2023, right? So now everybody who's on Medicare and Medicaid is still subject to all of those protocols dictated by the National Institutes of Health, by all these people who care so much about your health, right? And we've seen the results of that. So, yes, this is another reason. This is a great reason. We need to, if we care about our families, if we care about our elderly and disabled, we need to push back against the CBDC because they would be absolutely subject to anything that came down the pike. Let's look at Obamacare. Let's look at the death panels of Obamacare. Yeah. They'd be sunk.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Yakima, Washington. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm concerned about the CBDC because in the book of Daniel. Hello?
Bill, you're on the air. Please continue on.
Yes, I'm concerned about the CBDC because in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13, and verse 23, it talks about a nation and the ruler of that nation, and that God is always in control. Yeah. God's never out of control.
Right.
And so we're in a place to where if Satan could, he would deceive the very elect.
Mm-hmm.
But who is the elect? The elect is those that have Jesus Christ in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here in a precipice right now to where the mark and the name and the number of the beast is making its forward progress, and there's not much that anybody can do about it. We are in...
Okay, Bill, you're confused because you're listening to the delay and so forth. So let me just, we're going to just go on here in our next call in just a moment. But let me recognize God is indeed in control. At the same time, we are told that we must have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we're reproving this, okay? Calling this out here today and standing up for truth and righteousness, which is always the right thing to do. Any further comment, Rebecca?
No, I agree completely. I know we have other callers in a very limited amount of time, but I ditto to what you said.
Let's go to Ralph in Menno, South Dakota. Ralph, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about, you know, we talked about the lack of adherence. So what can we as individuals do? You know, prayer is important.
Prayer.
We know God's in control, but we have. Right. It seems like we have too many in Congress and so forth, in all the government that just seem to go along with this, or they're just ignorant. I don't know.
Thank you, Ralph.
Right. Well, first of all, use cash. Use cash whenever you can. Patronize those businesses that still take cash, and also get to know your legislators. Get to know people at the state level, especially, because at the state level and at the county level too, at the local level, we need ordinances, we need legislation that protects us from any of this. We still have our United States Constitution as our founders framed it, and we need to make sure that our legislators are adhering to it and protecting us from anything coming down the pike from the deep state operatives at the federal level.
Thank you, Ralph, for your squeeze. One last call in. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Wake up, people. The federal government is now public enemy number one. You got agents raiding people's homes, violating the Fourth Amendment. It's ridiculous and right out in the open. As for this digital money thing, digital currency, the U.S. Constitution gives only Congress the right to create money, and that's by coining it. It says so, to coin money, not print it, not make it out of thin air through fractional reserve banking, and not digital.
Brad, thank you. I'm going to have to catch you there. You have just a half minute here, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, yes, it's all about getting back to what the founders intended with our Constitution, which is that states remain sovereign, and the federal government protects us from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and then leaves us alone to do our own business and take care of ourselves. We're adults. We can do that. We don't need the federal government and the nanny state.
Rebecca Terrell has been our guest here today on Crosstalk. Folks, you'll find her article at New American, thenewamerican.com, The Shackles of Central Bank Digital Currency. Rebecca, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Jim.
And friends, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Tell a friend about the things you're learning here on the broadcast. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.